It's so nice to see everybody here. And when you're not here, we miss you. There really is a big difference when anybody's not here because we're the body of Christ. Each person is beloved, accepted, significant, and secure. Remember my BASS? We're all significant in the body of Christ. Every single person has a different role, a different gifting. I know everybody has at least one gift. And many people have multiple gifts, unbelievable gifts. George has an amazing gift of putting a cross on the building. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
That was so amazing to me. And it lights up at night. That was not an easy task. Did you mow? You're the guy that mowed? Thank you. It's so nice to come and have all that mowed down and everything. That's not easy either. That's a hard job if you guys have all done it. Thanks, Don. There's so many people that just kind of show up and do stuff, and you don't realize it's the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be. That's how we work. And you find out somebody visited so-and-so, and somebody went and dropped something off to so-and-so. And I love the body stuff that happens. We're that connected. People just taking care of each other and loving each other. So let me just ask a question. Did you spend any time this week with somebody from our church? Outside of regular meetings. Raise your hand if you did. That's insane, you guys. That's family. That's what we hope for. That's koinonia, happening outside of a structure, just letting the Lord lead us. They went from house to house, sharing all things in common, blessing each other. You know, you read the book of Acts. That's what we're shooting for. First century Christianity, being lived out just spontaneously as the Spirit moves you to just stop by somebody's house and pray with them and bless them. And I get so blessed as a pastor because that's what you want. That's what we're looking for. That's the whole goal. So we as elders, we're constantly praying, constantly monitoring, saying, Lord, how can we be better at doing that which you've called us to do? And you're doing it. What's our job? In Ephesians 4, God gave some to be evangelists, apostles, pastors, teachers for equipping the saints for works of service that you might build each other up, come to unity in the Spirit. And all of that leads to maturity, and none of that's going to happen unless you're just doing it. Do you realize I need you to use your gifts because I can't mature if you don't? Me personally. Same with you. If we don't use our gifts, you cannot mature. You need the body of Christ. And it's really interesting, no matter what size the body is, thousands, miniature, whatever, the right people are there at that time. The right people for what it is God wants to accomplish. Isn't that weird? But that's how it works out every time. And something will happen, a need will arise, and we'll hear later that somebody showed up and somebody did this or somebody did that, and you go, the right people at the right time. That's the way God works. So part of that equation too is letting your needs be known. Don't be afraid to let people know what your needs are. You know, and if you're struggling financially, if you need food, if you need somebody to come and help with a project, say it. We as a body, the more we communicate, and trust me, we haven't even started yet. We haven't started. We will be started when Betsy gets here and we're grounded and we're settled living. Things are going to change. I mean, things are going to roll because I'll have much better focus. And Betsy's a doer. She's like George. Don't even mention something because it'll get done. And you're like, oh, what are you doing? Well, you said last week that's George. If you mention it, get out of the way. It's going to happen. And I love people like that. Betsy's a doer. I'm an overthinker. You know, like, yeah, okay, that's going to require this and it's going to require that. She's done. When I'm still adding up what it's going to require. You get what I'm saying? Two types of people. When I'm able to be here full time and I can do the things that are in front of my face because that's how I work, more things will be worked on. And communication is top of the list. More communication. We're going to use the website more. We're going to develop that. We're going to develop Facebook. So if you love doing that kind of stuff, if you want to do some social media for the church body, we need a social media guru for this body, which would be super fun. We'll come up with ways to share needs, to share prayer requests and praises, and we'll come up with ways for it to be our inside the family prayer life will be secure. Nobody can get on there except people who are supposed to be on there. It's not open to the entire world. But our praise stuff will be very, very public and very out there. We want the world to know what Jesus is doing. So we'll have regular praises, prayer, answers to prayer, and that kind of stuff. So there's going to be a lot more communication. Get ready for that. We know we need it, and we know we're just starting. So bear with us as we're getting our, he's finally back, we're working together, it's coming. There's a calendar on the podium, if you didn't get one yet. It has this month and next month in a calendar format. Flip it over, and it's got the next 2 months kind of in a sentence by sentence. This is what we're hoping, this is what we see. It's also got some what if, wish, whatever you call it, you know, wish list. And a lot of the stuff, if you see on there, you know, future things that we could do, kayaking and boating and hiking and all that, that came up from an elder meeting, mostly from Don. He's just a wealth of, I couldn't keep up. Don just, you know, idea after idea after idea, and I'm like, wow. So that's all on there. If you've got ideas, feel free to drop them in the Dropbox back there. If you have a prayer need, if you have a suggestion, even a complaint, put it in there. Communicate. We want it, and we're on top of it. We will see it, and we will respond. So if you got issues, put it in there. If you've got other things that need to be talked about, just grab one of us elders, take us into the prayer room or the parking lot or whatever, and let's talk about it. Okay? Super simple. This is a family. We're open about everything. Also on that sheet is the elders' phone numbers. I put my wife's phone number down there. I didn't have a chance to ask the other wives if they wanted their personal phone number to be on there, so they're just listed with their husband. But Betsy likes that, so she approved that. If you need to call her, ask her questions, catch up, whatever. And I can't wait till Betsy's here. You will find that she is incredibly, I'm going to cry, spirit-filled, dynamic woman of God. And if I need prayer help, I call her, because something about her prayers, they're magic. And man and God in concert. Betsy has that dialed in. She's a good prayer. She's authentic. She's transparent. She's real. And she's super loving and encouraging. So get to know her, spend some time with her. That's why her number's on there. Because there may be something, you don't want to talk to the elders, but you gotta voice something. Betsy's a good, safe place to do that. She'll hear you, and she'll probably join you, and it, whatever your thing is. But anyway, I love her, and I love her ministry. She's dynamic. And when she gets here, take advantage of that, ladies. And she'll be starting a midweek Bible study. But it's to get to know you and her, and just have another place where we can touch base. So that's coming. On the top of it, it says, what if God is less concerned with you being fixed and more concerned that you are known, loved, and accepted just as you are? What if, really, that's how it all worked? What if God, did you hear that? This is right out of The Cure, okay, the book, The Cure. It says it so well. What if God is less concerned with you being fixed and more concerned that you are known, even to yourself, loved and accepted as you are? The fixing he'll get to. He wants you to be comfortable being you. He wants you being comfortable being known, way more than fixing you. And there's one passage in The Cure where the lead individual has been in the room of grace for a little while. And the lead individual, so that character says, I'm a little concerned. And the other, there's another character. With what? What are you concerned about? That you haven't said anything about my issues, you know? Your issues? Yeah, I mean, I've got issues, and I know you have to be able to see them. And you haven't said anything. And the other character says, oh yeah, I've seen your issues. Trust me, I've seen your issues. That's just not my job. You know, my job is just to love you. That's what we do. That's what the room of grace is. God will take care of the issues. So he's like, oh, because I've been keep thinking, oh no, it's coming. Because your whole life it comes. And you get slapped down, beat down, knocked down. And in The Cure, it's like, no, that's not the room of grace. That's the room of good intentions. where we're all trying to be good, we're all trying to be acceptable, we're all trying to be holy, we're all trying to be pleasing to the Lord. The room of grace is just the opposite of that. We get to hang with the Lord. He'll take care of us in time. He'll work on what issues he wants to work on when he's ready. Our job is just to hang there and love each other. Don't you think that's cool? What if God's less concerned about you getting fixed and more concerned about you being known and being loved? Huh, I love that. So if you get a chance, get on that cure, start reading it. Another quote at the bottom of this thing is, what if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? You're gonna learn stuff in this book. I've been criticized for wanting everybody to read a book together. I still want everybody to read a book together because I want us to be on the same page in our life, in our walk with God, in our understanding of each other, in our understanding of grace. And we're not going to get there individually, not very often. You have to be on the same page. We're learning something. Let me tell you, the book, The Cure, is going to introduce you to some thoughts that you may have brushed against in your own walk with God, or you may have come against it somewhere else in other readings. But it is a concept that has been lost in the church for a couple centuries. The concept of grace versus law. God is a God of law who stands there like this. He's got a big holy hammer, and when you start to get out of line or start to have a good time, he just whack-a-moles you right on the head. As soon as you guys start, bam, you know, bam, and you're like, and so you walk around trying to be good and trying to be holy and trying not to make you don't get seen, otherwise you're going to get whacked on the head. That's law. And the law wasn't given so you obey it. The law was given so you know you can't. The law was given so you know without Christ, I can't do this. That's why the law was given, to teach us that we need Jesus. That's grace, where you go, I can't do the law, but in Christ, I'm complete. In Christ, I'm done. I'm finished. It is finished, he said. That's already done. Now, there's rough edges he wants to work on. There's little things. But that's not the same. That's not the same as trying to be holy so God likes you or so God accepts you. That's going, God does like me. He does accept me. And I want to be more like him. Lord, please shape me. That's the room of grace. It's by his work. And you're having a good time. Law, not so fun. Get used to these concepts. Yes, I want you to read books. Yes, I want you to, and read books. And I don't demand you read anything. I suggest that you do. But go read whatever you want, but keep growing. And there's audio books. Some of you guys are doing something like Dave was saying, if you got to water your newly planted grass for 3 hours, put on a headset. Make it into a school. If you've got to drive 4 hours this way and that, put on a headset or your stereo or whatever. Turn your car into a college. Turn your backyard into a college. Turn that tractor time into a college. Don't waste that time. Just let your mind drift. Fill it with the things of the Lord. We've got some suggested reading that will help you understand. And our goal right now at The Way is that we understand our identity in Christ. What happened at that cross? What happened at the cross? We know Christ died at the cross. Everybody knows that. And we know that he atoned for our sins at the cross. We know that part. And then it goes law. Yeah, Christ died for our sins and now be good. Christ died for our sins and now be holy. No, Christ died for our sins. Now we are good. Christ died for our sins and now we are holy. What? It was given to you. It was imputed to you. His righteousness was imputed to you. That means given with no charge, no cost, and you didn't do anything. Bam, you're holy. Do you realize that? When God sees you, he sees his holy child. He's not mad. He's not trying to correct you. He just loves you. And that's grace, right? So he just did that. He just loves us. So you're already in. You don't have to try to be sanctified. You need to be sanctified. Anybody know what sanctified means? That's a big Christian word. Everybody should know what sanctified means. That's the bottom line of everything. What is it? Sanctified is set apart. That's what it means. Sanctified in most people's religious mind is tuned up, dialed in, more holy. Sanctified means you're good. Sanctified means you're not cussing anymore. You're not drinking anymore. You're not, you know, you're getting better. You're finally got the instructions and you're aligning yourself to it. That's sanctified. No, that isn't. Sanctified means set apart. That's a one-time event where God goes, oh yeah, him. Puts it in his little bouquet. Oh, her. You're sanctified the minute he reaches out and grabs you. That's it. Sanctification is the day you said, oh, I believe that. Dude, you're in. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and atoned for you, if you believe that, it says you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, he's raised from the dead, you're in. You're sanctified. Now he starts the process of dialing you in. That's maturity. The big difference between sanctification and maturity. If you're a Christian, you're sanctified. But you better figure some things out as God leads you. There's some tuning up to do. Have you noticed that? Women, you see your husband need, they got a little growth room, right? God's going to work that out. You just keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. Keep loving him. That's sanctification. So we're not trying to be sanctified. We already are. That should raise some eyebrows or some questions. Is that anybody questioning that or concerned about that? You're sanctified. It's not something you do. It's not something that happens slowly. The word is hagiazo, and it's instantaneous. It's always instantaneous. Every place it's used in the Bible and every place that it's used in antiquity, that word always, hagiazo, always means instantaneous. What, Don?
I was reading online, and it used three words. Justification is a one-time event. Sanctification is a process. And glorification is a future event.
Right. That's bad theology right there, and that's everywhere today. They talk about sanctification, justification. You're justified. Justified, never done it. You're justified by the blood of Christ. You're justified. And they say sanctification is a process, and then glorification is what happens when you die and you're in the presence of the Lord. You're glorified. Jesus was glorified in the Mount of Transfiguration, glorified. And that's true too. However, sanctified is wrong. That's bad theology. It's bad teaching. It is bad interpretation. Go look up the word hagiazo. It is never progressive. And yet they teach progressive sanctification. It's everywhere all the time. It's not biblical. And that's where you get churches that are very judgmental, churches that are very legalistic, churches that are trying to make you better. So watch what you say, watch where you go, watch who you hang with, because you're being watched. And as a Christian, you're in the process of sanctification. I know that you make mistakes and all that, but God's going to tune you up. So he's the holy hammer waiting to crack you on the head. That is not a biblical thought. That is a common teaching today in the religious circles, but it really is social, cultural. We've come to believe that and buy into it and reteach it over and over and over. So if you look at Moody or Dallas or, you know, Denver Seminary or any of these, you know, evangelical seminaries, Multnomah, they teach that. It's completely wrong. And when you sit down with the professors there, the theology professors, say, show me that in Scripture. They can't. It's not scriptural. It's historical, coming from Augustine and some of these other church fathers from the past who wanted to be holy men, and they just didn't understand grace. So you got great guys like Augustine who don't get the grace theology at all. Are you guys with me? Because this is life-changing stuff I'm giving you right now. I'm just having a discussion with you. It is absolutely life-changing, but it's boring as heck until you walk it out. When you see it, you're not bored. But we can talk about this stuff, but I want to define these terms. I'm glad he looked that up, because you're going to hear that everywhere you go. You're going to hear that everywhere you go. Justified, sanctified, glorified. I was trained that. I got my degree in that. It's wrong. And I don't want to say it's wrong, because I got guys that I love that teach this. Guys that I love. They're good friends of mine. They've become over the years good friends of mine. Various great pastors who you know their names. And they're wrong. And I hate to say that, but I will say one guy, John MacArthur, who I love, I think he's the genius, he's wrong. He doesn't understand gifts. He doesn't understand sanctification. It's weird. So I don't know what to say about that, but you got to be picky. We're looking for grace. We're not looking for law. Be careful of that. Now, that's all. Just want to catch you up. And I hope you're with me, because this stuff can get you off track or snoozing. And I don't mean to do that, but I do want you to know who we are and where we're going and what this is all about. It's different. Is it a little bit different? See what I'm saying? Some of you guys, it's not. You know, Jesse laid a good foundation on this stuff. He laid a good foundation getting us out of law into grace. Didn't go far enough. He didn't push it as hard as Dave and I do. You got to understand, we're pushing it because we see it, we know it, we get it. This has been a subject of my life for about 16 years now. I went from being a law guy, law grace blend, to being a grace guy. And that transformation was painful as God was teaching me things that I just was like, that can't be true. That means I don't have anything to do. That means I've got, you know, you're right. You have nothing to do. God does it all. You have nothing to do. Your job is to be still and know that He is God. That's your job. But I got to do this and I got to do No, that's God's job. Well, what about this? I got to do that. No, that too is God's job. My job is to be still and let Him love me. I may sound like a broken record, and I am, because I will be punching this in over and over and over. And I hope you guys get it. I hope all of us get this. And when we get it, as we do, many of you already do, you find this pleasure in Christ, this pleasure in church, this pleasure in each other. And you're not trying to fix each other, be angry at somebody's personality flaws or whatever. You're just like, oh, that's so funny. That guy cracks me up. God's working on him. We used to wear a button back in the 70s, a little button that said, please be patient, God is not finished with me. That's what it was, just the letters. And people go, what does that mean? Please be patient, God is not finished with me. He's still at work. And we all want everybody to be a done thing. No. We're maturing, we're learning, we're walking. And it says these qualities, if these qualities are yours in increasing measure, you will always be productive and fruitful in the kingdom, and you will get a rich, warm welcome. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. If these qualities are yours in increasing measure, you're going to have this rich, warm welcome and this fabulous relationship with God. That little phrase, in increasing measure, is so important. You could take that out and the sentence would sound the same, but increasing measure means, so you got one guy here in his walk with God, another guy here, and this guy's kind of got a foul mouth and he has a sharp temper and he's kind of rough. But he's only been a Christian for a short time. But if you were to hang with him, you'd see he's grown a lot from where he started, but he's only a little ways along, but he's growing. This guy's been a Christian for 50 years and he's holy. Look at him. Look, he's an elder at the church and he serves everybody. He's so wonderful. Not growing. Stuck. Been there a long time. This guy's alive. This guy's stale. If these qualities are yours in increasing measure, you're going to be productive and fruitful. This guy stopped being productive and fruitful. And yet, if you were to measure each guy, this guy would get all the awards and he'd be, oh, he's holy, he's godly. No, he quit growing. His walk with God was yesteryear. There's nothing dynamic, there's nothing real, there's nothing happening today. If these qualities are yours in increasing measure, then you will be fruitful and productive in the kingdom of God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's glorious. Don't be fooled. You see this young Christian who's really rough. You're like, I don't even think the guy's a Christian. Listen to his language. Look, he's still smoking cigarettes or he's still drinking. God's at work there. Please be patient. God isn't finished. If these qualities are yours in increasing measure, are you increasing? Or did you get stuck somewhere along the way? Now you're all holy and religious and well, you're happy with who you are. God's calling you to open up your heart and let Him continue the process. You're not done. If you were done, you'd be in heaven. There's a lot to do until you're glorified. So what they call the process of sanctification, it's a mistake. It's the process of maturing into your identity, right? That's what's going on. So Let's pause. Father, that's a lot of stuff. That's years of mistakes, years of you tuning me up, years of new understanding. I don't mean to dump the whole load all at once. I like to give out little shovels full here and there. But we need to understand this, Lord, as a body. We need to understand this. And I'm asking you to help. I mean, only you can do it. So open the eyes of our heart that we begin to understand. Oh, yeah, Lord, that we begin to understand. Woo, the glorious riches of Christ. Oh, man, and that we would step into that power through the Spirit in the inner being. That's what we need. So as we jump into the Word, Lord, steer us, guide us, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.